This is Unicopia Green Radio with your host, Farron Dancer.
Welcome to Unicopia Green Radio. This is your host, Farron Dancer. And you guessed it, it's another beautiful day in Santa Fe. And it's always a beautiful day in Santa Fe. That's why we live here, I think. Well, that's why some of us live here. And Unicopia Green Radio is brought to you each and every week by Unicopia, a public benefit nonprofit organization that is dedicated to the awareness, knowledge, and synergy that is key to our sustainable future. And each week here on Unicopia Green Radio, we like to mention something we call sustainable thought, and that is staying positive, being grateful, looking around in each day, and taking in our blessings and the things that really make life worth living, staying away from the doomsday stuff and the negative thinking and the fear-based reality that so much of our culture is driven by, and just staying positive. And that's what we call sustainable thought, because where we focus our thoughts is the reality that we're going to create. And we're going to talk about some of those realities today with a guest that I have here in the studio, Melissa Williams, who is the director and founder of Journey Santa Fe. And
one of the founders,
but also the director currently. And she's also been the program director from day one. I heard that. And Melissa, welcome to the studio.
Thanks, Farron. Nice to be here.
Melissa, give us just a brief overview of Journey Santa Fe and what your mission is and what your activity is in the community.
All right. Well, we've been trying to offer a weekly progressive conversation series since 2007. We try to bring about change for the greater good. Our goal has been to kind of find common ground where we can all work together to solve problems, transcend differences, and basically just work on solutions. We've been interested in finding a new language, one that is softer and more gentle, and again, more about solutions rather than the fight and the divisions that we always seem to find ourselves in during debates on various issues and initiatives in the state and locally, too.
It sounds a bit like that your philosophy and how you conduct Journey Santa Fe is similar to what we talk about in regards to sustainable thought, and that is focusing on solution orientation, staying out of the weeds of all the issues and problems and getting spooled up in that, because people tend to get, let's just say, depressed or disgruntled when they get too problem-oriented. And then they're not really a part of a solution at that point. They're actually sort of feeding the problem more than anything else. So that's why we like to say, let's look at solutions. We can address the issues, of course, but let's now focus on the solutions. And that is the premise of what Journey Santa Fe and the presenters are about. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. And it's also just a glimpse each week of the different people in our community, the threads of our community, and what various people and organizations are working on, trying to affect change for the greater good.
And we know that some change for the greater good is definitely up and needed in this time and space. And, you know, the powers that be are spending a lot of energy, effort, and money to maintain the status quo, which is, as we know, very non-sustainable. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to have a future worth living in this culture of ours, then we need to start looking at a different approach. One of the things that I love about what you guys are doing, mm-hmm. Melissa, is the grassroots and how people who are living in this community and our citizens in our community can find a voice.
Yeah, so every week we offer a platform. We just open it up to, you know, different people from the community to tell us what they're doing. It's wonderful.
And tell us a little bit about your background, Melissa, and what got you passionate about sustainability and about community activism and the things you're involved in.
Well, I think the thing that I'm most passionate about is good communications, good lines of communications, and people being accepting of other ways of doing things and trying to bring the different perspectives together in healthy dialogues and weekly conversations. It's just a joy to bring everybody together in and around issues that might make our community healthier and more livable and more sustainable.
And where were you years ago that got you involved in this stuff? Are you a longtime Santa Fe resident, or what? Give us some of your history.
Well, I've been here since the end of 95. Basically, my background has been in arts administration. I worked with the Colorado Council for the Arts and Humanities and was a program public relations and volunteer coordinator for arts organizations throughout the state of Colorado, grant writer. And during those years, you know, I saw lots of communities come together in and around the arts and build bridges and networks into all aspects of a community that just made each one stronger. And so I've applied those skills to the part that I love the best, which were community dialogues and trying just to build more bridges here in Santa Fe locally.
And how long have you been doing this series of presentations?
Well, we got together every week in 2006. It was a group of people that just sort of had been meeting every Sunday, and we sort of left the organization that we had been with and just didn't know what to do. And we just decided we would start offering our own program series. So we began meeting and offering these community dialogues every Sunday since April of 2007.
And you were doing it, I know, at the Travel Bug on Paseo de Peralta.
Yes.
And that's been your venue for quite some time.
Yes, it was. We were really lucky. We started out actually at the Commons, and then we moved to the Travel Bug bookstore and had a very nice time there. And now we've progressed, and Dorothy Massey at Collected Works offered us a space at her bookstore every week at no charge. And so we meet every Sunday. It's called Sunday Mornings at Collected Work Bookstore, which is at 202 Galisteo Street on the corner of Water and Galisteo. Free parking all over the city on Sunday. You can come in and have breakfast and enjoy a wonderful conversation.
Is that big parking structure free on Sundays, or do you have to pay to go in there?
I think the parking structure off of San Francisco Street
is still you have to pay.
But it's free parking all over the city on Sundays.
As far as the parking meters go.
Yeah, as far as the meters go.
And then you're right up the street from Pasquale's if you want to. I'm giving them a free shameless plug. If you want to take in a little Santa Fe culture right down the street, you can do that as well.
Yes, Multellanos.
So what type of presentations? Give us sort of an overview of the types of presenters and some of the topics that are presented during your series.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to see if I can give you kind of an overview of our profile. We wanted to have community conversations that were also all about sort of a philanthropic approach. So all the donations that we receive are given directly back to various organizations in our community or of the speaker's choice. And if you go to our website, www.journeysantafe.com, you can see a list of the organizations that we've been contributing to for years. And some of our speakers, one of our first and earliest speaker was Craig Barnes. And he really sort of helped get this little group established. And we are grateful to Craig for his support throughout the years.
I just want to mention Craig because I know Craig personally, mm-hmm. and I know of his organization, We Are People Here.
Yes.
And we are people here right now talking about this also.
We are.
But I think what Craig's thrust is, from what I understand, is, you know, this whole sort of corporate takeover of America.
Fighting it and
getting people aligned with finding their voice, and this is something you and I are very involved in as well. Mm-hmm. And so there's a network throughout our community and throughout the country, if not the world,
right,
of grassroots activism, mm-hmm. of citizens taking the reins, finding a voice, speaking about their rights and their their, well, let's just say inalienable rights, to have control over their communities and have control over food resources and energy and all these topics that we like to talk about here on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And we've seen more progress, I've seen, in the last 4 or 5 years from the grassroots than we've seen progress really come from anywhere else.
Well, you know, that brings to mind David Bacon. Last year, I invited David to join our planning committee, and he created Who Controls Water in the Bioregion conversation series that actually lasted for almost 9 months to build awareness on the corporate takeover of water rights in New Mexico and how various counties could write ordinances that protected the rights that were already in place and what we could do about fracking and all the issues in and around water, which are vital to all of us for our you know, lives. And he always believed in working, you know, locally and with the grassroots community, and that all the strength, you know, people had been most successful if they worked from the ground up, boots on the ground. Mm-hmm. And he was right. And he built tremendous amount of awareness in and around the issue of water and who controls democracy and education in the bioregion and all the issues that we care about.
Right.
So hats off to David for that.
Hats off to David, and hats off to the other community activists, and there are many.
Well, yeah, we've had Tiwa Women United speak for us, and Mark Rudd we had.
All right. Hold that thought, Mark Rudd and others. We have to go to break. We'll be back in just a moment on Unicopia Green Radio. Stay tuned.
Singing, don't worry about it. I say you're working iniquity to achieve vanity, yeah. If I so, I so.
Welcome back. This is Farron Dancer here on Unicopia Green Radio, and I'm in the studio with Melissa Williams, director and co-founder of Journey Santa Fe, and she's also the ongoing program director. And it's been going on since late 06, early 07, somewhere in there.
Yeah, early 07. I'm one of the co-founders.
One of the co-founders.
Yeah, there were about six of us who started this in 2007. I'm the only one of the original group left.
She is the remaining survivor of the original group. But, you know, the passion that you exhibit for all of this is the reason you are the one carrying the banner at this point. Mm-hmm. And I've had opportunity to present with Journey Santa Fe, and I just want to acknowledge your efforts in this time and space and how much information and passion goes out to the community about all these various issues and getting people involved. And I think that type of involvement, you know, one of the things that I find fascinating is we're all spooled up in all these issues that are so pertinent to our sustainable future here in Santa Fe and New Mexico and beyond. And it's ironic as to how few people are aware of these things. And it's that educational outreach to get people aware and get people involved that is really making a difference. So we have a very strong community like that, and that's one of the reasons I love being here.
Yeah.
And and it's people like yourself that are making a difference that makes it worthwhile.
Well, so, yeah, thank it's you. Wonderful. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
So before I lather too much praise on you, we'll move forward and let's go back to that list of people that you were mentioning, starting with Craig Barnes and mm-hmm. David Bacon, and we'll move on from there.
Well, and I think I mentioned some of the other speakers have included Mark Rudd, who's a progressive guy from Albuquerque, New Mexico, has a very interesting background. I don't know if you know who Mark is or not, but he's a frequent speaker. We've had the Tiwa Women United. We've had student panels, particularly from the Waldorf School, talking about the world as they see it and what they think the future is going to be. And they answered some very tough questions. It was a superb panel of students, and we want to always make sure we include students in our conversation series. We've had Bill DeBuy talk talk about his new book, A Great Arrogance and Climate Change, and David Bacon's ongoing series on the politics and the issues of our region and on the water issues in particular for New Mexicans. We've had representatives from the Peace Corps talk about the work they're doing in third world countries, Richard Jennings from Earthworks about restoration projects, and Courtney White, the executive director of the Quivira Coalition, John DeGraff, a PBS producer who's done a lot of programs on the Happiness Initiative and sustainable.
Happiness Initiative. Okay, I'm going to just cut in here.
Yeah,
right. Because
good.
I want to know about that. Yeah. So can you tell me about what is that?
Well, John's written a book about what is the economy for anyway, and he kind of has created a series of programs and lectures on the importance of our remaining sort of happy in our lives and knowing how to find happiness in and around all of sort of the fear-based tactics, you know, that sort of manipulate our society and make us weary and sort of wear us down.
Does he tell you to avoid watching Fox News or something?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because, you know, the happiness factor, and this, I'm just going to run with my own experience here a little bit, because I'm a happy guy, in case you didn't notice that. But how one stays happy is to avoid engaging in negative thought on a regular basis. And what happens with our whole physiological makeup is we become addicted to negative emotions. That's why people become news junkies, because they like to, you know, feed into the pain and suffering that goes on around the planet. And there's something that clicks in that satisfies the little neuro nets that are formed in our cellular structure when they receive these negative emotional inputs and something gets satisfied. So it is very much an addictive thing. I think that positive thought can be addictive too. You just have to work on getting it there because it's not the name of the game.
Well, that's kind of what Journey tries to do, is just disseminate information each week with different people like you, yourself, and all of these other wonderful people, and just sort of build something that's positive amongst all the negative that's out there.
Well, and when we talk about solutions and solving problems in our world and in our communities, that's positive. We're bringing about positive change. Now, to get from the status quo to the change, you have to dive into the issues. You have to look at the problems. Mm-hmm. But if you stay solution-oriented, and that's what I really like about your approach, Melissa, is let's not get embroiled in the problems and issues. We see that across the board. Mm-hmm. When people do that, they become ineffective in the problem-solving part of it. So we have to stay solution-oriented and keep our thoughts up. And I like to – here's a little quote. This is from Neville Goddard, who's one of my metaphysical teachers. Says, live from the wish fulfilled. And I love that quote, because when you can project the future that you want to create and you see this positive future and you feel the energy of what that feels like, now you go about your day living from the wish fulfilled, which then guarantees the wish being fulfilled. If you're hanging out worrying about what's going to go wrong or why you can't, you know, solve the problem, then it never gets solved.
That's so true.
So let's all live from the wish fulfilled.
Well, you know, we had a man from Kenya speak for Journey last week, another member of our community. His name is Naroge Carver Theobias, and he did a wonderful program on attitudinal healing. And he used to work for CBS and NBC in L.A., had a stroke many years ago, and he talked about his life as a black person growing up in the and the handicaps that that entails, and then this terrible thing that happened to him with the stroke, and how he learned to project the image of what he really wanted to be, that person who is inside of you, that you want the world to see and acknowledge, and how important that became for his overall health and well-being. He also talked about incorporating comedy in your life and the importance of laughter.
Yes.
And he became a minister, and he took care of a lot of children who were in gangs who suffered a lot of loss and grief on a weekly and monthly basis. And he would have them do a lot of improv scenes and write humorous little scripts on the way they could project their life differently, which really sort of helped them overcome some of their emotional
laughter and
circumstances.
Humor. Yeah.
Laughter and humor.
Well, you know, and my partner in Unicopia, Maxine Suisa, just got her certificate as a laughter yoga practitioner. And I first thought, you know, you stand on your head and you laugh in some kind of yoga pose or something. But no, it's not about, yoga poses. Mm. It's just laughter yoga, which is the art or practice of laughter. And these groups get together and they even, practice laughing, you know, yeah. Not something we normally, you know, take on as a practice. So I think, you know, there's some real benefit in that. And, we're going to have to go to break one more time. We'll be back in just a moment on Unicopia Green Radio. Stay tuned. Welcome back. This is Farron Dancer on Unicopia Green Radio. And I want to remind the listeners to pick up a copy of the Green Fire Times. Green Fire Times is a wonderful publication that's unique to New Mexico, northern New Mexico. And every month, the discussions are on sustainability and on the evolution of consciousness and on healing and the other things that are near and dear to what's going to make us a holistic and well-balanced community. And it's also the fifth largest publication of any publication now in New Mexico. So pick up a copy on your newsstand sometime soon. And I'm here in the studio with Melissa Williams, director, co-founder, and program director as well of Journey Santa Fe. And we were talking about the mission of Journey Santa Fe and providing a platform for all this incredible information and people that are bringing forth a perspective to our community that's activating the citizenry, getting people to find their voice and become involved in the issues of the day and find solutions as well. So welcome back, Melissa.
Thank you.
And before the break, we were talking about some of your guests and some of the energy that is being put forth as a result of the platform you provide. And there was somebody you were mentioning that had something to do with a mind-body-heart connection, and they use music. Who was that you were talking about?
He was last week's speaker, Naroge Carver Theobiaz, and he just has a wonderful—
Theobiaz?
Theobiaz.
Okay, so remember that name, and there'll be a quiz at the end of the show. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
But he just talked about the importance of, you know, always projecting who you want to be and not letting, you know, the things that happen to you in life that are negative hold you down for too long. And remember laughter and healing and the mind-body connection and healing yourself, attitudinal healing. He also meets, I think, once a month at the library on a Thursday evening. So people might want to
check. The downtown library?
Yes, they might want to check that out.
And give us his name one more time, and I won't be smug about this.
It's Naroge Carver Theobiaz.
And he'll be presenting at the downtown library?
I think he has a conversation once a month on attitudinal healing at the library.
Attitudinal
healing. You know, your mind over matter. I mean, you can kind of overcome
and
a lot of things.
And I read something not too long ago that said, attitude isn't everything. It's the only thing.
It is. And, you know, we're all stronger than we think we are. We have courage that we don't always realize until we need it. We are equal to challenges that we haven't even imagined yet. That's a quote from Peter Buffett, but it's so true.
So we're equal to challenges we haven't even had to deal with.
Right. We're a lot stronger than we think we are.
Well, and look what happens when, an emergency arises, what the types of things people are capable of that they had no idea.
And look at how we can heal. And just get right back on track again. It's incredible.
How resilient our bodies are,
yeah,
for one thing.
Yeah, we're so resilient.
And that kind of reminds me of something we were going to talk about. And that is well, the resiliency of our beings in general. Mm-hmm. But that thing you were talking about, sort of a Buddhist approach to the energetics of how you work with the Journey Santa Fe, and give us a little input on that.
Well, I just think, you know, for the most part, it's just trying to find a different language, one that isn't always about the issues that divide us. It's about trying to build bridges with the solutions that will help us all. So it's working maybe in a more positive vein by sharing information each week and learning new positive ways we can change things, rather than debating issues, say, from a Republican Democratic point of view, or all the ways that we've been using that just haven't really taken us very far.
Well, and I'm going to share a little experience that I had 3 years ago when I had a very difficult construction accident. I was in the hospital for 30 days. I had shattered my pelvis in a fall. And I was spending the initial several days after the surgery laying there wondering why and wherefore, and why wouldn't you in a situation like that? But I was kind of beating myself up a little bit, like wondering what I had done to bring in such a devastating experience. And I had the privilege of working with this physical therapist there who was a practicing Buddhist. And she kind of saw the strain and the heartache I was going through around my situation and offered a bit of insight that I've held to this day and probably will always hold because it was incredibly profound. And that was this thing about, well, it's not really important to figure out why things happen or to take responsibility even for why things happen, because there's so many unknowns in this life that we have control over or we don't. And so there's an acceptance. And she called it isness. She said, you have to make peace with what is. And mm-hmm. at that point, I couldn't walk. And I was even at one point looking at maybe not doing that for a long time. So it was a little depressing, obviously. But it was what I had to work with in that moment. And that perspective allowed me to grab hold and realize, okay, I can only move one direction from here in dealing with what is. Mm-hmm. And so that is a beautiful life philosophy. And now, we don't have to fully ultimately accept what is if we want to be an agent of change for something better, but we have to make peace with what is in any case so that we can come up with solutions.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's my little Buddhist story.
Well, then I couldn't agree with you more, and that's sort of what we've tried to, you know, integrate into the Journey dialogues too. This is what's there. This is the reality. Now, how can we improve on it and go from there rather than staying stuck in the fight mode or in the past?
Right. Right. And another great teacher would tell you that wherever you put your attention, that's where you're going to create, or that's where you're going to live.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be solution-oriented, then you're going to be a part of solutions. And that's, you know, in the case of sustainability and the problems that exist within our community, culturally and environmentally and all the rest, we have to, in the midst of our work, which is examining what's not working and what we can do to make things move in the right direction, mm-hmm. we also have to stay grateful and be appreciative for all the goodness that is in our lives right now.
Yeah, and we also have to accept, the bad news too, and feel fortunate actually to receive it and maybe embrace it a little bit, because it will allow us to adapt and adjust and move into our future maybe in a little bit of a more knowledgeable and healthy way. So,
well, that's some good insight too, because staying positive doesn't mean you're in denial.
Not at all.
Either.
No. So, and some of the other people that we've had speaking have been independent journalist Zili Polin and the ambassador to Cambodia, Sizon Siv, who wrote a wonderful book about his experiences with the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia.
So you don't just work with local issues and local people in terms of the presentations sounds like there's an international bent to this little bit as well.
There are some international threads. Steve Klinger from the Light of New Mexico, the editor of Light of New Mexico, has been a guest speaker. Fred Goldberg on the economy and economics. Mark Sardella, the executive director of Local Energy. Joni Arends, Concerned Citizens for Nuclear Safety. Holly Beaumont, Interfaith Workers Justice. Robin Seidel from La Montanita Co-op. It's just a wonderful tapestry of different people from our community.
Well, and again, your ability to bring those people together and give them an audience is bringing their work into focus in terms of how it's affecting positive change within our community and within our culture. So what's lining up in the future? Do you have some good ones coming up?
We do. It's called Sunday Mornings at Collected Works, and it's every single Sunday from 11 to 12. And this coming Sunday, June 10th, we're going to talk about what about those chickens anyway with Ed Marino, who's the president of the El Dorado Community Association.
Wow. The chicken
dialogue.
Let me tell you, the chicken dilemma is huge out in El Dorado. And if you like chicken salad or you like the byproducts of chickens, whether it be eggs or whatever, a lot of us, consume chicken and eggs. And so why not have your own, right? So
yeah.
That's what's going on in El Dorado.
Yeah. Can they have them or can they not have them? And what I guess both sides, the pros and cons of chickens in our neighborhood.
Well, and I think if you leave the rooster out of the mix, who's going to wake your butt up at 5:30 a.m., you might be okay.
Because...
Chickens in themselves are all right.
They are. It's also about sustainability, too, in neighborhoods, too, and everybody kind of growing their own vegetables and maybe raising their own chickens. And just, it's sort of all tied together.
It's tied to the sustainable issues in El Dorado.
And everywhere. And I
know the backlash that comes from this is the fact that people not all people, but a lot of people move to a community like El Dorado where it's not an agricultural community. It's kind of a bedroom suburban community.
Yeah.
And they commute to town or they don't, but they didn't sign up for, agriculture. So the people that are against the chicken story out in El Dorado have spread a lot of misinformation saying, well, if you let the chickens in, then the next thing is everybody's going to have pigs. And cows and goats and all the rest. And then it gets a little bizarre, but that's not the case. They're just working with chickens.
Yeah,
so,
well, it'll be interesting to see what they have to say. And I do believe that Dorothy Massey, who has some chickens, is going to bring them also to the debate. So
come and listen to the chickens at the debate coming up. We'll be back in just a moment, so hang in there. Welcome back. This is our final segment on Unicopia Green Radio, and I'm here in the studio once again with Melissa Williams from the Journey Santa Fe. Welcome back, Melissa.
Thanks, Farron.
Before the break, we were talking about the chicken issue in El Dorado. I'm going to make a little admission here. I got cornered in the parking lot at the Agora one day, many months ago, by a woman who was, as it turned out, a little wacky, and... She had convinced me with this petition that she was passing around that if we let the chickens in, then we're going to have pigs, goats, cows, bulls, God knows what else. And she was so compelling and convincing in her conversation that I, who love chickens, signed the petition. When I found out how completely full of it she was and that it isn't the case for other more intense agricultural pursuits. It's about chickens. Yeah. I went in front of the El Dorado board at one of their presentations and admitted my embarrassment in signing the petition and also called out this lady in front of the board to, reveal the untruths that were being spoken at that time. So, this is some of what goes on. People will, bend the truth. We see it in politics quite regularly to get their point across. But sustainability starts with growing food and
chickens are one of the primary aspects of a sustainable community, and let's move it forward.
Okay. Well, anyway, this coming Sunday, June 10th at 11 at Collected Works will be the program on What About Those Chickens Anyway, with the president of the El Dorado Community Association. And then the following
and
Sunday.
And he's the president of the board out there.
He is the president of the board. Yeah. Is Ed Marino.
Right.
And he's going to bring some other people who will discuss the pros and cons of this issue, which really affects a lot of our neighborhoods, not just El Dorado. And then on Sunday, June 17th, again at 11 at Collected Works Bookstore, we're going to have a program on Dying with Dignity with attorney Peter White and Dr. Magalik, Catherine Richardson on the end-of-life issues and the New Mexico laws and what they will allow.
Mexico?
New Mexico laws.
New Mexico. Okay.
And what they will allow and won't allow you to do regarding this issue. And it'll be a very important discussion, I think, on that particular lawsuit that these doctors have filed against the state of New Mexico in wanting more people to have more choices where end-of-life is concerned. So that'll be a very informative program.
Can I just ask, and you haven't had the program yet, so you may not have the answer, but is this about when somebody's in the hospital and whether they should go on life support or not, or how they have free choice and how they want to exit the planet?
I think
at the end of the life.
It's about having a little more maybe free choice if you know you're at the end of the line rather than having somebody, you know, keep you hooked up to a machine.
Right.
You know. But come on the 17th and hear what the attorneys have to say. It'll be a very interesting program. And then Sunday, June 24th, 11 at Collected Works Bookstore, we're going to have a poetry reading with the Elizabeth Rabe and Don Levering. They're two very well-known local poets and who have also a national following, and that will be a very nice, pretty morning for us. And then on Sunday, July 1st, at Collected Works at 11, you, Farron, are going to do a program. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're
going to do? Well, I had nothing else going on that day, so I signed up. I'm very much involved, as you know, Melissa, with a potential renewable municipal energy grid for Santa Fe. And I've spoken about this and written about it quite a bit in recent months. And that is, just so the listeners know, our mayor costs, and I can't recall the name of the mayor of Española, but the two of them are going to be awarded coming up here in a couple of weeks at a big fancy dinner, I think sponsored by the EPA, based on the fact that the Santa Fe municipal area has been declared the number one cleanest air of any municipality in the United States.
Wow.
And so the mayors of our joint communities are going to be getting an award. Now, and that's all warm and fuzzy and wonderful. The downside or the lack of reality around that is that we breathe this incredibly pristine air at the expense of Navajo Nation, where we get the most of our electrical energy, which is generated by coal-burning power. So we're not breathing bad air that the Navajo are breathing, but they are definitely dealing with the health effects of our energy generation. So it's a little bit misleading, and I think that until we become municipalized around our utilities and around our energy production, then those types of awards are not only misleading, but they take the attention away from some of the realities that are really in place here in New Mexico. Mm. So I will be talking about that. I took a trip to Boulder a couple of weeks ago where they have passed a public referendum to buy back their local utility from XL Energy. That's their local PNM up in Colorado. And I learned quite a bit about their process over the last 6 years, and I'll be downloading that as well as some other things on energy efficiency and green building and whatnot.
Oh, that's wonderful. We want to do lots more programs like that with you, too, just keep everybody informed. And on Sunday, July 8th, we have this marvelous photographer from the Santa Fe Workshops, whose name is Tanya Vassallo, who's written a photography book on the Camino Santiago Road in northwestern Spain. And she's going to show us photographs of the road and talk a little bit about this beautiful part of the world. And then Sunday, July 15th at 11, Craig Barnes is going to give us an update on his group, We Are People Here. And on Sunday, July 22nd, 11 o'clock at Collected Works again, Nuke Free New Mexico with Jay Coughlin from Nuke Watch and Michelle Victoria are planning a week-long program on nuke-free issues in the first week in August, I believe, and they're going to tell us a little bit more about that.
Wow, that's quite a nice agenda you got lined up there.
Lots of different things, which is what's fun about Journey, because every week it's something new and it's something important.
And, you know, that's why I love Unicopia Green Radio, because we have the same basic format. Every week it's something new and exciting. And, you know, we enjoy mixing it up with the community and getting the word out on all these various activities, causes, issues, and solutions.
Yeah, we appreciate your giving us time today, too.
Well, my pleasure. So, you know, each and every week, as I mentioned, we're here bringing a platform forward for our community. And I would just put this out there to the listening audience. If any of you out there are involved in an organization, an issue, a technology, a solution, and you think you would like to be a guest on Unicopia Green Radio, just contact me, Farren, F-A-R-E-N, at Unicopia, U-N-I-C-O-P-I-A .org, and drop me an email, and we'll see if we can get you on the show.
That sounds great. Or they can contact Journey Santa Fe, too. We'd love to know more about who you are.
Yeah, contact JourneySantaFe.com as well.
Yeah.
So, well, I think we're winding down. It's been another wonderful, beautiful show here in Santa Fe. And come back next week and every week on Unicopia Green Radio. This is Farren Dancer signing off.